until he came across She's Out of My Life by Michael Jackson. He laughed and said, "How appropriate." I turned off the radio. "Mason, I need you to listen to me carefully." "Oh, Junk One, I think I've heard quite enough. First from you last night, and this morning from Logan." He took his seatbelt off and finally cut the engine. I went over to his place and confronted him after you told me all about it.
"I told you all about it?"
He glimpsed at me with disdain.
"Yes, after you told me all about it sometime between admitting that you were a whore and stating that you just wanted to fuck me and get it over with."
I slid down farther in the seat and tried to mask my eyes with my right hand.
"Oh, that's right," Mason added. "You're not just a whore. How did you put it? You're not just a common whore, but you're a major whore. Did I say it right?"
I shrugged. I hadn't a clue what Jude had said.
"Respond to me, damn it," Mason demanded. "You got into my car and said we needed to talk, so talk."
I had absolutely nothing to lose, so I decided to tell Mason the truth. What I'm about to say is gonna sound crazy. Probably because it is.
"Everything you said last night was crazy."
"Last night, I didn't say anything." Mason pondered over my statement in silence. "Mason, the person you spoke with last night wasn't me."
"That's the most ridiculous pile of shit I've ever heard."
"I'm very serious. I'm going to say what I have to say, and then I'm going to leave you alone. I'm only confessing to all this because I don't want you to misconstrue my actual feelings or think you did something to make me act as I have."
Mason sighed.
"Okay, say your piece." I've never been with a man before in my entire life. I've never had sex, not with Logan or anyone else. He chuckled.
"All right, whatever."
All these years, I knew something was wrong with me, but I never wanted to face the facts. They started when I was just a child.
"What started?"
"The blackouts."
"Blackouts? You can't be serious."
"I'm dead serious. I have these episodes when I lose chunks of time. Sometimes large ones, but mostly smaller ones."
"Are you saying what I think you're saying?" he asked in dismay.
"I have multiple personality disorder, Mason. Whatever transpired last night was between you and Jude, not you and me."
"Jude?"
"Yes. That's what she apparently calls herself." I laughed nervously. "I've never met her, but I heard it through the grapevine."
"Huh. Well, I met her."
I sat up in the car seat.
"So do you believe me?"
"I believe that you weren't yourself last night. I won't go as far as to say that you were a different person. I've seen that sort of thing in movies, but never in real life."
"Well, it's not as uncommon as you may think.
Last week I searched the internet and there are thousands of websites dedicated to the topic. I even read some testimonials from other people who have the disorder."
Mason cleared his throat. "This is incredible."
"There was even this one woman who had more than 40 personalities who spanned an age from infancy to elderly, both male and female.
Say I buy into this, Junquenette.
What can you do about it?"
"Do you need to be in some sort of hospital?" he asked.
"Goodness, I hope that I don't need to be hospitalized. I am seeing a doctor. She's as sweet as can be."
"Well, that's a positive sign, right? The fact that you sought help."
"Yes, it's positive. I only wish I'd done it years ago."
"So, she's treating you?" Mason inquired.
"She's a psychiatrist, so thus far, we've just done a lot of talking. I just found out that she met Jude during one of my sessions. Jude came out because she was pissed off about my trying to bring my daddy back into my life."
"Then your daddy knows?"
I told him. I shifted in the bucket seat. "However, he already knew something was wrong. He always has. My mother just never wanted to hear about it or accept it."
"But she accepts it now."
I shook my head. "She doesn't know about the latest developments, but I plan to tell her the first chance I get." I stared at Mason, who was sitting there looking into space.
I just want to thank you.
For what?
For at least listening to me and hopefully for not judging me.
I have to confess, last night threw me for a total loop. Especially when you, I mean, Jude, told me about what happened with Logan at the wedding.
But what? I asked.
Even though you were acting raunchy and told me about fucking everything that moved, it was strange because I still wanted to be with you. It went against everything I've ever believed in, but I still craved you.
I blushed uncontrollably.
Really?
He took my hand and kissed it.
Really?
He leaned over and kissed me on the cheek.
Now that we've discussed this, I don't want you to have to go through this alone.
I'll have my parents.
Yeah, but you'll also have me.
We sat there in Mason's car for a good while, and I started telling him all about the childhood memories, or lack thereof, that I had. He was mesmerized, and so was I. To think that he was still talking to me after what Jude had done was all I needed to know to make a final decision. Mason was the man for me. The only man for me.
Chapter 29. Junquenette.
I woke up early the next morning, miraculously rejuvenated. Mason had come upstairs with me the night before and stayed with me for several hours. We didn't really talk, at least not with words. We cuddled up on my sofa and watched 1 week and Love in a Bullet on cable, starring Tretch, who was phenomenal.
Mason must have let himself out because when I woke up, I was covered with a fleece blanket and the volume on the television was turned down. It was just after 7 a.m. and I was excited, since it meant that I could make it to the 8 o'clock church service on time. I was determined to get my life on the right track, and getting back into the habit of going to church was a good start. Even at that time of the morning, church was packed. I managed to squeeze past a heavy-set gentleman and take a seat next to an elderly woman on the next to the last pew. The music ministry moved me to the point where I jumped up and started stomping my feet. Normally, I would have been too embarrassed to draw attention to myself, but something was changing. It was a new dawn. When it came time for the first scripture reading, the woman beside me let me share her Bible because I had forgotten mine at home. After the scripture had been read, Reverend Townsend stood up in the pulpit and told the members of the congregation to shake hands with all the people surrounding them. Everyone got on their feet, with the exception of those who could not, and greeted each other warmly. When I shook the elderly woman's hand, I took a good look at her face and couldn't help but wonder how old she was. She had a ton of wrinkles, but there was something youthful about her appearance. The rest of the church service was very moving. The minister gave a sermon that I really needed to hear. The topic was, Believe in Yourself. He reminded us all that every day our beliefs guide our actions, and it is up to us to make the impossible become possible. It validated what I had been feeling with Mason the night before. I believed that I could overcome my situation, with the right support circle in place and enough faith. After church service ended, I did something that I had never done before. I actually stayed and talked to people in the fellowship hall. It was the church's anniversary, so there were many people lingering around, preparing for a big celebration dinner later that evening, which I didn't plan to attend. I had just finished talking to a woman named Jasmine who wanted me to join the YAMS, the Young Adult Missionaries, when the elderly woman came up to me and took my hand.
"What troubles you, child?" she asked me.
I laughed nervously. "What makes you think I'm troubled?"
"I've lived a long time," she replied. "And when you are blessed to be here as long as I have, you start to see things. You can read faces. I've been reading yours all day."
She had me curious. "What does my face say?"
"That you're hurting. That you came here today looking for help, searching for answers."
"You're right. They say church is the place to find yourself. I'm here to find myself."
"The Lord works in mysterious ways, child," she said, patting me on the arm. He never gives us more than we can handle. I've buried 3 husbands and 2 children, and every time I thought I would never survive the pain. But guess what? I did. For whatever his reasons, he called them all home before me, and one day I will see them again. Can I ask you a question? Sure, child. I know you're never supposed to ask a woman her age, but I'm really curious about yours. You have this glow about you, almost childlike, but yet you are so experienced and wise. She grinned at me. I'm flattered. And please, I passed the point of being offended when someone asked my age decades ago. I'm 93. I was stunned. 93? Yes, I've been here a long time. I still have 4 surviving children, 9 grandchildren, and 38 great-grandchildren. That is amazing. I suddenly felt ashamed. The woman had so many people who loved her, and I had never truly been loved. I'm not married, I said in embarrassment. In fact, I've never really had a relationship, but I'm kind of getting close to someone now. Don't fret, child. You still have plenty of time left. I can feel it in my bones. You're gonna be here for a long, long time. A tear formed in the corner of my eye. Not if Jude has anything to say about it, I thought. I can tell something is troubling you, she continued, but trust me. This too shall pass, and life will go on. There were times when I begged the Lord to put me out of my misery, especially when I saw my youngest child kill himself right in front of me. Oh my gosh, what happened? I asked, and then I regretted it immediately. I didn't want her to have to rehash bad times. Never mind, that's none of my business. Oh, it helps me to talk about it sometimes. Chad had everything going for him. He owned his own business, had a home, a nice car, and everything to look forward to. Then he hooked up with the wrong woman, and she had him so taken with her that when she decided she wanted to move on to something better, he couldn't handle it. Chad came to my house one night, a Saturday night. I remember because I was on my way to play bridge. He came in, sat down on my sofa, told me how much he loved me and always would, and then he took a pistol out of his jacket and shot himself in the side of his head. Something made me want to throw my arms around the woman and hug her. I'm so sorry. She embraced me back. You have nothing to be sorry for. She let go and looked me in the eyes. Just do me one favor. Sure. Don't let your troubles break you down. Be grateful for every day, every single day, because you never know when it will be your last. She wiped a tear from my right cheek. Even at my age, I still embrace life. I come to church every Sunday and praise the Lord. Every Saturday, I play bridge at the local hall. And every Tuesday, I have dinner with my man. Now I was really shocked. Your man? Yes. Can you believe it? She asked jokingly. Even at my age, I can still pull him. Is he your age? Honey, finding a man my age would be like searching for an ear of corn in a watermelon patch. We both laughed. No, I have a younger gentleman who comes calling. He's just a baby. 74. Wow. I never thought I'd hear a man in his 70s being called a baby. She giggled and ran her fingers through her silver hair. Me either, but thank the Lord that I'm here to be able to do it. So every Tuesday you have dinner together. That's so romantic. I'm so happy for you. I'm happy for me too, and dinner is not all we have, she said suggestively. I make the same meal every week. Smothered pork chops with gravy, collard greens, cream corn, and sweet potato pie. And he always brings a bottle of sparkling cider and a bouquet of roses. We sit and talk and we eat, and then we make love. I was so amazed at her openness, and I realized why she looked and felt so great for her age. The woman was loved by a man, and she loved him back. That was something I never had, but something I was determined to get. The hall was thinning out, so I decided it was time for me to head on home. "Would you like me to walk you out? Do you need a ride someplace?" She shook her head. "I'm fine. I live a block away, and I enjoy the walk. One reason why I've lived so long is because I've always been active. I watch too many of my friends wither away, and most of them would have lived a lot longer if they hadn't just given up. Just because you age doesn't mean you have to act old."
I totally agree with you.
She gave me one last hug. "Take care of yourself, child, and maybe we can sit together again sometime." I smiled.
"I'd like that. I'd like that very much." She started walking away.
"Wait, I don't even know your name." She turned around. "Just call me Nana. That's what everyone calls me. My family, my friends, and the people here at the church. I'm like a mother to everyone."
"Thanks, Nana," I said. "My name's Junquenette, and it has been a real pleasure. You've helped me in ways I could never explain."
She chuckled. "We all help each other."
Chapter 30. Junquenette. My conversations with the old woman after church truly motivated me. I found myself so hyped up later that night that I couldn't get to sleep. I lay in bed, staring at the ceiling for what seemed like an eternity, but sleep would not come. I tried drinking a pot of green tea. Still, nothing. I tried reading to myself with V. Anthony Rivers' novel Everybody Got Issues. I ordered the book offline because of the title, not only catchy, but true. Still, nothing, though. I couldn't go to sleep. I finally figured out that I needed to talk to someone about my plans to speak with Mama the following day. I thought about going downstairs to Mason's, but I didn't want to appear too needy, at least not with him. So I called the one person who was well aware that I was needy, and then some. It was 10 after midnight. The phone rang twice before a groggy female voice picked up and said, "Hello? Marcella?" I asked to make sure I had copied the right phone number down from my answering machine. "Junquenette, is that you?" I was astonished that she recognized my voice so quickly. "I'm sorry for calling you at home so late on a Sunday, but I really need to chat with you." I heard some movement on the other end of the phone, and then she said, "I already told you, you can contact me any time. What's wrong?" "I just feel so bemused, and I'm scared about what I plan to do tomorrow."
"Which is what?"
I paced the floor with my cordless phone for a few seconds before answering, confronting my mother.
"Do you need to talk in person, Junquenette?"
"I would be grateful for that." I responded without a second of hesitation. "Can you meet me at your office?"
"No."
"I'm sorry, you're right. It's ridiculous for me to expect you to come out this time of night." She took me off guard by saying, "I'll come to you. Give me an hour." Always true to her word, Marcella was knocking at my door exactly 56 minutes later. I had spent that time straightening up and trying to look more organized than I normally was. This was Marcella's first time at my place, and my mother always taught me that people can tell a lot about a person by the way they live. Being that Marcella was my psychiatrist, I expected her to really inspect and analyze everything about my residence. I rearranged my magazines so that they were in monthly order, my DVDs and CDs so that they were in alphabetical order, and my books as well. It was silly, really, but it helped me pass the time. Marcella came in wearing a sweatsuit and a pair of sneakers. She looked youthful in the outfit. I was used to seeing her in business suits and heels. I had on a pair of pajamas and a fluffy pair of slippers. I hugged her with appreciation when she came through the door. "Thanks so much for coming."
"Don't mention it, Junquenette."
I led her into the living room, where I had prepared a plate of cookies and another pot of tea, since I figured we would be up in the wee hours of the morning. After we were seated on the sofa, Marcella asked me, "So what makes you assume that speaking with your mother will be a confrontation?" That was an easy question. "Because I know how she is." I poured us both a cup of tea and put a spoonful of sugar in mine. "I haven't discussed my mother much, but when I said she was self-absorbed, that was an understatement."
Marcella took her cup from me and put 2 teaspoons of sugar in hers.
How so?
My mother thinks the entire world revolves around her. She doesn't identify with the fact that everyone else has problems of their own. You mentioned her being bitter about the divorce.
Marcella took a sip of her tea.
This is delicious.
Bitter is putting it lightly.
When that hooker showed up at Thanksgiving dinner and humiliated her in front of her entire family, she was distraught. She probably thought it was a fate worse than death.
Tell me more about your mother's background.
My great-grandparents were murdered when she was a child, and I don't think she ever recovered from their loss. Her parents are retired. They were both janitors, and she was ashamed of it.
Do you see your grandparents?
I try to visit them in Florida at least every 2 years, but when I go down there, they always seem introverted. It's like I don't exist. They never go out with me when I'm there, and they don't even offer to let me stay with them, even though they have the space.
So where do you stay? She asked.
At a hotel down the street, I replied. Plus, Florida brings back a lot of bad memories for me. Being tantalized and browbeaten, I don't have any fondness for the place. But I do adore my grandparents.
Does your mother have a close relationship with her parents?
Good question. She talks to them on a regular basis. That much I know for sure. Whether I would classify them as being close, I don't know.
I picked up a cookie and nibbled on it.
So much has happened this weekend. I'm not sure if I can handle anything else.
What happened this weekend?
Marcella asked excitedly.
You better brace yourself.
Marcella sat up straighter on the sofa.
Okay, consider me braced.
Darnetta showed up here yesterday morning and punched me in the nose.
Darnetta? The co-worker you mentioned. The one who invited you to the wedding?
Yes. I paused to take another sip of tea. Apparently, a whole lot happened at the wedding when Jude took over.
Such as?
Jude seduced Arnetta's man. I searched Marcella's face for a clue as to what she was thinking, but couldn't read her thoughts. She did it with Logan right there during the reception.
Let me get this straight. Jude had sex with the man in public? She inquired.
Well, in the private room someplace, but basically, yes.
So what did you say to Darnetta?
I did the rational thing, since I knew she wasn't making it up. I apologized for Jude's behavior.
My behavior.
Did she accept your apology?
Absolutely not.
In fact, I still need to go through the want ad so I can start applying for other jobs in the morning. I got up and started pacing the floor. My anxiety had kicked back in full throttle just thinking about going to work. Darnetta is a drama queen, and she's going to do everything within her power to make me out to be the devil incarnate at the office.
That's unfortunate.
That's also not all, I uttered.
What else? Marcella asked.
From what I've been able to piece together, the way Darnetta found out was by walking in on Mason and Logan arguing about it.
Logan told Mason?
I shook my head.
No. Jude told Mason.
Jude?
Uh-huh.
Mason came over here Friday night to ask me out to a movie, and Jude convinced him that I was a whore. And to prove it, she threw the incident with Logan up in his face.
How did you find that out?
Mason told me. I sat back down beside her, remembering the wonderful night we had spent together.
He's such a good man.
I take it that things went well between the two of you.
I told him everything. He actually listened to me and even tried to comfort me afterward.
That's definitely a good thing.
Yes, it is.
I began to think about the possibilities between Mason and me and how much I wanted to see what could actually develop. Then I thought about Jude and how she could ruin it all.
Jude's getting out of control.
Or maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe she's in control.
Marcella was silent. She seemed like she was in deep thought.
She's really going to take over completely, isn't she? I asked.
Marcella said, not if I have something to say about it.
She took my right hand and held it tightly.
Junquenette, I need to speak with Jude.
Meaning?
She touched me on the cheek with her free hand and stared me in the eyes.
Jude, I know you can hear me. Come out. I promise I won't hurt you. I tried to pull myself away from her. This is crazy, Marcella. She refused to let go of my hand. Junquenette, you're not the one destroying your life. She is, and that's why she's the one I need to get across to. I couldn't help but laugh. So you think she's just going to come out like that? On demand? No, but I do think she'll come out to prove that she can whenever she wants to. All of a sudden, Marcella started screaming. Jude, you said you can run the show, so run it. I sat there waiting for something to happen. I pictured it being something straight out of a movie. Time seemed to slow down at a snail's pace as we both just waited and waited. Nothing happened. Marcella smirked. Well, Junquenette, it looks like you're the dominant personality after all. Jude.
That bitch had gotten on my last damn nerve, talking so much shit, as if I couldn't appear whenever I wanted to. I had just been sitting back, enjoying the fireworks, and trying to see how Joan would handle the drama. After all, I'm the one who set the wheels in motion when I told Mason about fucking Logan. I was kind of bored, and wanted to see the proverbial shit hit the fan. Joan's not dominating shit! I lashed out at Marcella after her taunting me to come out.
Jude, is that you? She asked, staring in my eyes like there would be something different present in them instead of just looking like Joan's eyes. There may have been anger in them, but that was about it. I poked her in the chest and snarled at her.
You really think you know every damn thing, don't you?
I know enough. Marcella sat back on the sofa and appeared to be sizing me up. So how have you been, Jude? I understand you've been a bad girl the last couple of days.
I understand you've been a bad girl,
I said mockingly. She grinned and folded her hands on her lap. The bitch was acting too calm, cool, and collected for me.
Don't patronize me, I stated with disdain. If you're asking whether or not I showed my ass, you're damn right I did. Mason needed to get to stepping and get the fuck out of our lives.
You may feel that way, but your plan backfired on you, Jude. Didn't it?
I had to admit to myself that Mason's apparent acceptance of Joan's situation threw me for a loop. I assumed that his ultimate purpose behind constantly coming on to her was sex. But he was acting like he actually cared. Most men would dump a sister with a quickness if she boned one of his best friends.
As far as having multiple personalities, most would probably run for the hills.
She sat there, smirking, waiting for a response. Finally, I replied with much confidence. It appears it may have, but it's not over until it's over.
Marcella reached over and took my hand. Why are you trying to hurt Junquenette, Jude?
I'm not trying to hurt Junquenette. I yanked my hand away from her and stood up. She's trying to hurt me, and I can't have that. What Joan should have done was keep her damn mouth shut in the first place. It was okay when she was going to those meetings at the hospital.
I went over to the window and looked out over the parking lot of the complex. Mason's car was out there. The bastard.
Hell, they were even somewhat entertaining, I continued. I enjoyed listening to those pathetic people talk about how sex had ruined their relationships and sometimes even their lives. Joan never said anything in the meetings, and I was cracking up inside. Then Miss Thang had to go and start yapping off at the mouth. She started this shit, not me. Don't get it twisted.
Marcella got up and followed me over to the window, lurking over my shoulder. Before, you did your dirt anonymously. Now you're doing things to directly affect Junquenette and the way people look at her.
Fuck the way people look at her! I screamed at her without turning around. This is my world.
Jude, Junquenette realizes all that you've done for her, and she's grateful for your protection all those years. She placed a hand on my right shoulder. But now she has other people who understand her, and we're going to protect her from now on. She slid her hand down my arm, grabbed my elbow, and swung me around. She doesn't need you anymore. Don't you think it's time for you to go away?
Go away? I stared her directly in the eyes and said, You must be out of your fucking mind. I'm not going any damn place. If one of us is going someplace, it sure as shit ain't gonna be me.
Jude, Junquenette deserves a normal life. If you truly care about her, then you'll let her move on.
Move on, I chuckled.
So what is to become of me? What is supposed to happen to my life? I pulled away and walked into the kitchen to find some real food, not those damn cookies Joan had set out on a plate. Marcella didn't come all the way into the kitchen. She just stood in the doorway while I searched the cabinets for something decent to munch on. Jude, I don't profess to know all the answers, and I know this is hard on you, but both of you can't go on like this. I slammed one of the cabinet doors. Why can't we both go on like this? I opened the fridge, sniffed the milk to see if I could at least have a bowl of cereal. It was sour, so I poured it down the sink. Look at what's happening, Marcella said. Like you just said out there, things are changing. Junquenette is not going to just sit back and let things be anymore. You're getting angry, lashing out at people, and she's becoming a stronger person. I closed the refrigerator door, leaned on the counter, and put my hands on my hips. How can I put this? I tapped my foot. Joan is not becoming a stronger person because Joan has always been weak as shit. That's the reason I'm here, to make sure people don't fuck her over. Do you think I'm trying to fuck her over? Marcella asked. That's yet to be determined. But I know that I'm not going anywhere. You can just forget that shit. Marcella came into the kitchen and took my wrist into her hands. Listen, will you at least agree to talk to me again, on a regular basis? Maybe we can come to some sort of terms. I yanked my wrist away. What is this touchy-feely shit? Are you a dyke or something? She frowned and replied, No, I just want you to know that someone does care about you. I care about you, Jude. I care about both you and Junquenette. You're not alone, and I don't want you to ever feel like you don't have someone to talk to. I understand clearly that there are two of you, and both of you need love. I shook my head and snickered. Whatever, bitch. See, that's what I mean. Your hostility towards me is just a front. You really craved to be loved. Isn't that why you have sex with so many men? Oh, so you want to go there, huh? I asked. I guess it's time for the motherfucking gloves to come off. She stood there and took a challenging stance. Fine by me. If I can't get through to you by talking calmly, then we can get loud. However, that's not going to solve anything. And me coming into your office, lying on your chair like I'm some sort of fucking diva and spilling my guts will solve something? I asked sarcastically. It's a start. Tell me, Jude, why do you really have sex with so many people? Why do you consider that important? You tell me. You the doctor. I ripped open a bag of chips that was sitting on the counter. I was craving something salty. Oh, what was it you told Joan? That I use power play? I laughed. You're too funny. You do realize that everything you say to her, I hear. Yes, I know that you're always around, she admitted. So you know how much your adventures are hurting Joan. She came to me because she thought she was insane. You regard that as protecting her? I didn't like the direction the conversation was going. It was time to end it. It's time for you to leave, I informed her. Jude, aren't you going to answer my question? No, I'm not going to answer your stupid-ass question. I went out of the kitchen and opened the front door. Get out. Jude, this isn't going to improve anything. You're always ending our chats abruptly. Chats? This isn't a fucking chat. We're not two girlfriends catching up on things or lollygagging around. This is a fucking argument. I won't engage in it any longer. It's useless. You think you can convince me to go away? Well, like I said before, that shit is not happening. I opened the door wider. Now get the hell out. Would you allow me to talk to Joan again? I laughed. Joan's not here right now. Can you allow her to come back out? She asked. You are one sick cookie. If you think I'm going to let you sit here and fill Joan's head with more of your bullshit tonight, you are sadly mistaken. I went down the hallway toward the bedroom. If you're not going to leave, then I am. I'm getting dressed. No, don't do that, Marcella stated in a panic. It's late, and you need to stay here. I'll leave if you really want me to. I couldn't help but be amused. I glimpsed at her, and she was standing in the doorway looking pathetic. Ah, I get it. You know that if I go out, I'm going to fuck someone, and you're trying to spare Joan that embarrassment. She lowered her eyes to the floor but refused to respond. Well, you're right, I continued. If I leave here, especially at this time of the morning, I'm going to go out and fuck the first thing moving. I decided to rub it in. In fact, I might do it anyway, even if you do get the hell out right now.
That trips you out, right? Knowing, or rather not knowing, what I might do next.
You're truly enjoying this, aren't you? Destroying this young woman's life.
I'm not destroying shit. I'm simply living mine.
Marcella left without saying another word. Thank goodness. I went out on the balcony and watched her pull away slowly. I retrieved my bag of chips from the kitchen, came back out, and sat on one of the two lounge chairs Joan had out there. About 15 minutes later, I saw a brother that I had seen many times before leaving the building. It was way over in the morning, and he had obviously just finished making a booty call to the sister in apartment 1C. She was the uppity bitch with a weave who always thought she was too special to even speak to Joan. One of those women who thought her shit didn't stink and that her pussy was worth millions. I decided to kill two birds with one stone, because I never liked that bitch in 1C.
Hey, you!
I called out to him as I stood up on the balcony so he could see me. He looked up just as he was hitting the keyless entry button on his keychain to unlock a black Mercedes SLK 3200.
Yes? He asked.
I didn't say anything. I just ripped off Joan's pajama top, followed by her bra, then I stepped out of the pants and underwear. I stood there naked, just staring at him seductively. Then I closed my eyes and started swaying my hips to imaginary music and palming my breast. I heard the beep again as he locked the car, followed by his footsteps coming back up the walkway toward the building. The shit was just that easy. Chapter 31. Junquenette. I hesitated before I knocked on Mama's door. I had no idea how I would break the news, but it had to come out. I needed her. More than ever. She saved me the trouble of knocking when she suddenly swung the door of her condo open. She was startled and slapped her right hand across her chest. "Hello, Mama," I said, faking a smile. She took a deep breath and sighed. "Junquenette, what a pleasant surprise."
"You really mean that?"
"Yes, of course I mean it. I was on my way out to the store, but come on in." She turned and walked back into her place, leaving the door ajar for me to follow her. "In fact, I've been getting frustrated because you haven't returned any of my calls." It was true that she had left several phone messages, both at home and at work, but I just couldn't bring myself to call her. Dealing with the drama from Darnetta and Mason had been bad enough, and I didn't think I could deal with the drama from Mama. "I'm sorry," I told her. "I was out of town for a while, and then when I got back, some things happened." Mama eyed me suspiciously. "What sort of things?" "Can I sit down?" I asked as I walked in the living room. Her place was immaculate, as always. I was hoping I wouldn't catch her at a bad time with a man in the house, and it appeared that I had lucked out. "Junquenette, stop acting like you're some sort of stranger," Mama laughed. "Of course you can sit down. My home is your home." I plopped down on the sofa, and she took a seat in the armchair directly across from it. "What if I am a stranger?" I asked her. She leaned her head to the side in confusion. "Excuse me?" I said, "What if I am a stranger?" Mama seemed irritated. "You're not making any sense. You're my daughter. I gave birth to you, so how could you possibly be a stranger?" I picked up a photo frame off her end table. It was a picture of the two of us at my college graduation. In retrospect, I guess it was a picture of the three of us. Mama didn't say another word to me. A heavy silence just hung in the air like thick smoke. "I live inside this body, and I feel like I'm a stranger," I finally said. She laughed again, this time uneasily. "You must be overheated. You're acting delirious." She got up from her seat and started walking away. "Let me go into the kitchen and get you something cold to drink. I made some freshly squeezed lemonade, your favorite." I tossed the picture onto the sofa cushion, jumped up, and grabbed her by the elbow. "Mama, lemonade isn't going to cure this."
"Cure what?" she snapped at me.
"My illness." We stared at each other while I searched for words to say. "Mama, did you never figure it out? Or did you just choose to ignore it?" She yanked her arm away in anger. I have no idea what you're talking about. She took off toward the kitchen anyway, and I was right on her tail. I refused to let her walk away from the situation. I won't cut any corners with this, Mama. I have MPD. Mama took two glasses out of the dishwasher and started to get an ice tray from the freezer. She paused and asked, MPD? What the hell is that? Some sort of venereal disease?
No, Mama.
MPD stands for multiple personality disorder. She dropped both the ice tray and one of the glasses on the floor. The glass shattered everywhere.
Bullshit! Bullshit! She screamed.
Mama grabbed a dish rag and bent down to clean up the mess. She wouldn't even look at me.
Mama, I'm serious. You can't be serious. You're not some lunatic.
No, I'm not. I just have an illness and I plan to get help for it. She continued to busy herself with the cleanup efforts like it was no big deal. That's why I came to see you today. I need you to be there with me. I can't go through this alone. She finally stopped in her tracks, stood up, and got close enough to me to breathe on my neck.
Who filled your mind with this nonsense?
I've been seeing this doctor, Dr. Spencer, and she's the one who broke it down for me. She explained it, and then when I spoke with Daddy, he...
My mother's voice went up 10 notches. Wait a minute! When did you speak with Henry? Did he call you?
No, he didn't. Actually, I went to see him. Mama looked like she was suddenly on the brink of tears when she said,
You little ungrateful bitch. How could you betray me like that?
I knew the mention of my father would get her upset. Mama always expected me to choose her side over his. I was determined to make her see the light, though.
Mama, going to see Daddy wasn't about betraying you. He's my father. I have a right to spend time with him. Your father disrespected me. He went out and got that bastard child and totally disgraced both of us.
Daddy said none of that was true. Mama stormed back into the living room. I was getting sick and tired of following her, but I wasn't about to give up. He doesn't know why that woman showed up there that day, but he said he'd never laid eyes on her before. She smirked at me.
And you believe him.
I put my hands on my hips and stood my ground.
Yes.
You know what I can't believe? She said with a snarl.
I can't believe you turning your back on me.
That's when I felt myself getting angry. My mother had always been selfish, thinking the entire world revolved around her.
Mama, can't you understand that this is not about you? I screamed at her. For once, pay attention to me. What I need.
She slapped me across the face, and I was stunned. Mama had never hit me before. Not ever.
How dare you? She asked. I've taken care of your needs your entire life. When that motherfucker deserted us, I took on sole responsibility for you.
Mama, Daddy didn't desert us, I said, beginning to cry.
You pushed him away. Maybe you're the one that needs some of that lemonade. You seem to be delirious.
Mama went into the foyer and opened the front door.
I won't listen to any more of this.
She stood there, obviously waiting for me to exit. When I didn't budge, she yelled, Get out! I sat back down on the sofa, determined to say everything I needed to say before I left.
You have to listen.
Think about it. All those times when I said I didn't do those horrid things. All those times you probably had conversations with me that didn't seem quite right. Remember our dinner a while back? Mama remained by the door.
Yes, you were talking crazy then, too.
No, it was because I wasn't there.
Mama, I woke up the next morning with a carry-out container full of red meat and had no recollection of ever meeting you for dinner.
She slammed the front door.
What?
When I called you up to apologize, I was calling to apologize for not keeping our plans. She came over and sat down beside me. I know all this is hard to comprehend, but listen. I need you to listen because all my life, I've been scared to open up and tell the truth. Something changed in her face and her demeanor. For once, my mother felt compassion for me. She took my hand and squeezed it gently. I'm listening, Junquenette. Tell me everything. There have been countless times, dating back to my childhood, when I simply wasn't there. I would black out, and when I came back, that's when I would find out what I supposedly did. Mama shook her head but continued to hold my hand. This is crazy. There's more, I sighed. For years, I've been waking up with signs of sexual intercourse. Sex that I never had. Her left eyebrow went up in the air. How can you have sex and not know it? She asked incredulously. I knew all of it was too much to believe. Hell, I could barely believe it myself, and I was living it. Mama, it happened, and it's going to continue to happen if I don't do something to stop it. To stop her. Mama let my hand go. Her. Apparently she calls herself Jude.
Jude?
Yes, Jude. How do you know this? Because Dr. Spencer met her. She came out in her office when I was contemplating about reaching out to Daddy. Mama laughed uneasily and ran her fingers through her hair.
Came out?
Took over, took control. I took her hand again. I needed that connection, even if she didn't. It seems that she hates Daddy for some reason, and that was the trigger that made her show herself. Mama looked confused.
Why would she hate Henry?
I don't know. Maybe because he wanted to get help from me when I was younger and she was all about self-preservation.
So how long has this Jude person been around?
According to her, since damn near the beginning. A look of revelation shot across Mama's face.
And since she hates Henry so much, do you think it's possible?
It suddenly hit me at the same time it hit Mama. She could have been the one who set him up. I let her hand go, jumped up, and started pacing the floor.
That's it. That's why I don't remember anything about Thanksgiving Day. Jude was in control, and somehow she did it. She planned the entire thing. Now that I think about it, I had some money stashed away in my sock drawer, and when I searched for it the following weekend to go clothes shopping, it was gone. That must have been what she used to pay the woman.
She probably paid that whore money to show up and say she was screwing Henry, Mama said, jumping up also.
Oh, my God. That means our marriage ended for nothing. All these years wasted.
Mama broke down in tears. I held her tightly in an embrace.
It's okay, Mama. Don't cry. Please don't cry.
She looked at me with glazed over eyes.
So what do we do now?
We get help. All of us. Chapter 32 Jude. I seriously needed to relieve some stress. This was just getting to be too much. I had seen a late-night infomercial for an online dating service several times after returning to Joan's apartment for a fuck hunt. I sat down on Joan's computer and signed on to her account. The computer was slow as shit because she refused to get a DSL line or a cable modem. I clicked on the internet and signed on to my free account that she knew nothing about. My latest screen name was Dirty Deeds. I made a quick stop by blackgentleman.com to see if any new bachelors had been added. All I could say was, my, oh my. The commercials for the website are what motivated me to check it out. I was shocked to see the way it was laid out. It was a free site, but I didn't want to join. I rather decided to tour the site as a guest. They had me check two boxes, one telling my sex and the other telling which sex I was searching for. I checked female and then male and hit continue. Then they asked if I just wanted to hang out and meet people, seek a committed relationship, or just try something wild and freaky. Of course, I chose the wild and freaky button. It then asked me what age group I was interested in, what my zip code was, and what my sexual interests were. I entered 30344 as my zip code and selected the domination and submission button. What the fuck? I was surprised to see a ton of matches come up with pictures included on the site. Now, being on a bachelor or bachelorette site is one thing, but being on a site and announcing to the world that you are into domination and submission is another thing altogether. It was cool by me because it just made me hornier to know I wasn't the only freak of the week. The real trip was the fact that at least half of them were married. It's a small world, and I could imagine the beatdown some of them must have gotten when their wives, or worse, one of their wives' friends spotted the ad and then spread the word to all the other friends, associates, and family members. I scanned the ads, mostly checking out the pictures, since most of them were jacked up and easy to eliminate. I finally spotted a 39-year-old man named Dickin' You Down. He said he was 5'11 with a muscular body and that he didn't smoke, but he drank sociably. He also said that he was open to conventional sex, sex with a couple, sex with no intercourse, and domination and submission. He was looking kind of fly in his picture, even though it was sort of blurry. I decided to email him and get straight to the motherfucking point. 2. Dickin' You Down at pitbullsonline.com. From dirtydeeds@comeandtastethis.com. Subject, come and dick this down. Dear Dickin, I saw your ad on the dating website, and I am not one to mince words or play games. You live in Atlanta, and so do I. Let's hook up and see what happens when we get dirty together in the dirty South. I prefer to remain a mystery, so all I'm willing to tell you at this point is that I have the 3 F's. I'm freaky, fine, and I have a fat ass. If you get this, email right away. You are looking at the opportunity of a lifetime. I'm willing to meet up with you in a private place and fuck the living daylights out of you. Why, you ask? Because I'm bored, horny, and sick of not being able to find a decent fuck the traditional way. It is now 4:10. You have exactly 6 this evening to respond. After that, this offer expires and I'm moving on to the next man that catches my eye on the site. Keeping it real, dirty. I stayed online but went to the kitchen to fix something to eat. There wasn't a damn thing in there. I went through Joan's purse to see if she had any cash, and there was nothing, so I hid up her reserve that she kept hidden in a sock in her lingerie drawer. I got a 20 out and then called the closest pizza place to request a delivery. I wanted pizza with all the red meat they could find on it. While I waited for the pizza, I turned on Jerry Springer. That's my motherfucker right there. If they ever try to take Jerry off the air, I'm putting my foot to someone's ass. I had just sat down when the email chime went off on the computer. I got back up and went to read it. To dirtydeeds@comeandtastethis.com. From dickinyoudown@pitbullsonline.com. R.E., come and dick this down. All I can say is, damn! What's up, my freaky honey? There is no need for you to search any further. I'm definitely down for whatever. Just let me know when and where to meet you so I can check out those 3 F's. I will be there, ready and waiting. I'm doing my tongue warm-up exercises now, and then I'm gonna jack off a few times so I won't come for at least an hour when I tap that ass. Holler back at me with a quickness. Dickin. He was beginning to sound like he was full of shit. I talk a lot of junk, but I could back my shit up. I wasn't so sure about him, but what the hell? Might as well find out. I responded right away. To Dickin' You Down at pitbullsonline.com. From dirtydeeds@comeandtastethis.com. R.E., come and dick this down. All right, Dickin', it's on. Meet me tonight at 8 in front of the Paradise USA Motel. If you don't know where it is, get the directions off Yahoo. I have nothing else to add. See you when I see you. Dirty. I glanced at the time in the right-hand bottom corner of Joan's computer screen and realized the pizza place was getting dangerously close to their 30-minute guaranteed delivery time. Shit, free pizza is better than good pizza. With a mere 2 minutes left, there was a knock at the door. As I went to open it, I said, shit. After I opened the door, I said, triple shit. The brother standing there in front of the doorway was just that, fine as triple shit. He was tall, dark, clean-shaven, and had lips to die for. He just stared at me for a second, checking me out. I spun around and poked my ass out at him so he could get a better look. Do you like what you see? I asked him. Yeah. I love what I see. He responded hesitantly. Here's your pizza. Could you be a sweetheart and bring it inside for me? I grabbed my right wrist. I have that darn carpal tunnel syndrome fooling around with that computer mouse and all. Sure, I can bring it in, he replied. Thanks. He followed me into the dining room. You can just sit it down right here on the table. No problem. He looked at the receipt taped to the side of the box.
That'll be $16.50.
I had tucked the 20 into my bra. Instead of reaching down to get it inconspicuously, I put on a show. I unbuttoned the shirt I had on, exposed my bra, then whipped out my titty so he could see my nipple, and took out the money. I handed it to him without covering myself up. Here you go. Keep the change. He licked his sexy ass lips. Thanks. I started squeezing his arm. You look like you work out, do you? Whenever I get the chance. You work out at home or at a gym? Mostly at home, but sometimes I go to the gym.
Which one?
I asked. The body sculpture.
Oh yeah? I've heard of it.
I licked my lips back at him. Do all the men who work out there look as fine as you? If so, I might need to start hanging out there.
He blushed.